Take your places and we'll begin anew. We have a few things to do today before we move to adjournment. And our first item, now that we have come back, is it's a report from the Committee on Laity, Marriage, Family Life, and Youth. That's Archbishop Chaput's committee. But the report we want right now is a report and update on World Youth Day 2019 in Panama. And Bishop Frank Cajano is our contact here. We'd ask him to come forward. And a greeting and invitation to World Youth Day. Bishop Cajano has with him Archbishop Jose Domingo Ulloa, Metropolitan Archbishop of Panama and President of the Local Organizing Committee for World Youth Day 2019 in Panama. So, Bishop Cajano.
Thank you, Cardinal DiNardo. Good afternoon, brothers. I'm happy to share with you this afternoon some brief remarks about our engagement in World Youth Day before our honored guest, Archbishop Ulloa, addresses us. As you know, the next international celebration of World Youth Day will take place between January 22nd to 27, 2019. This is certainly a unique time compared to our usual July and August timeframe for World Youth Day. And we are aware that it's certainly going to create a challenge for many of our young people who will be most probably beginning their spring semester at that time of the year, at the end of January. So because of this, we are anticipating roughly 10,000 young people coming from the United States to Panama, which is about a quarter of the delegation that we had in Krakow, in Poland, in 2016. However, we do expect that there will even be a greater number of youth and young adults who will participate stateside in parish and campus and diocesan-sponsored events at the end of January 2019. But regardless, for ourselves as bishops, we will still be part of World Youth Day, and we look forward to it. Even with a smaller number of young adults coming to Panama, I know that many of you will be coming to join our young people and accompany them, as we will accompany them in our celebrations stateside. For those who are considering the trip to Panama, we have booked a block of rooms at the Hilton Panama on the Cinta Costera along the Pacific coast, which is right in the heart of where the World Youth Day events will occur. Bishop registration will be separate from pilgrim registration, and it will begin early next year. More details will come from the USCCB office in the coming months. I stand before you, brothers, first and foremost, to encourage all of you to consider coming to Panama. And I also encourage all of you to sponsor stateside World Youth Day gatherings that will be concurrent with the global gathering. This World Youth Day takes on even greater significance because it follows immediately after the Synod of Bishops on Young People and Vocational Discernment. We all are committed to accompany our young people and our youth who will be traveling to Panama or will be staying in their respective dioceses, celebrating the call the Lord has given them to follow him. To assist you and your diocesan leaders who may be considering sponsoring stateside gatherings and events, the conference's World Youth Day office is developing excellent resources and tools, including a pilgrim journal that we anticipate will be available in the beginning of 2018. Certainly, as more information and updates are available, the office will be sending them to you on a timely basis. But for now, it is my privilege and pleasure to introduce to you His Excellency, Jose Domingo Ulloa Mendieta, who is the Metropolitan Archbishop of Panama and the host of the 2019 International World Youth Day event. Welcome, Archbishop.
Gracias. En primer lugar, quiero expresarle nuestra gratitud por permitirme estar hoy con ustedes y poder personalmente invitarlos para que junto a la juventud del mundo, pero muy especialmente junto a los jóvenes estadounidenses, puedan tener la experiencia directa de acompañar, animar y participar junto con ellos en la próxima Jornada Mundial de la Juventud Panamá 2019, del 22 al 27 de enero de 2019.
First of all, I would like to express my gratitude to you for allowing me to be here today and personally invite all of you so that together with the young people of the world, but especially the youth and young adults from the United States, we may have the experience of accompanying, animating, and participating together with them at the next World Youth Day in Panama from January 22nd to the 27th of 2019.
Sé que en la mente de muchos rondan muchas preguntas.
I know that there are many questions in our minds about that.
¿Por qué el Papa escogió Panamá para celebrar la Jornada Mundial de la Juventud en el área de Centroamérica y el Caribe?
Why did Pope Francis choose Panama to celebrate the World Youth Day event in the context of the Central American and Caribbean region?
La respuesta la hemos estado viviendo en esta mañana. Esta jornada quiere ser una respuesta a la realidad de vulnerabilidad, de migración, racismo, falta de sentido que vive nuestra juventud.
We have been living the answer, especially this morning, as we looked at many of the circumstances of vulnerability that the youth live, migration, drug trafficking, and others.
Una jornada en las periferias geográficas y existenciales de nuestros jóvenes.
It will be an event that will be at the peripheries, existential and others, and for the peripheries.
Como iglesia en Panamá, recibimos con temor, pero también con gozo, la designación de ser la próxima sede de la Jornada Mundial.
That is why we as the Catholic Church in Panama have received this good news of the choice by Pope Francis so that we can be the host of the next World Youth Day in 2019.
Esto nos coloca en el desafío de ser un instrumento para anunciar a la juventud que hay un Dios que les ama, que los espera siempre deseosos de que lo conozcan y en él encuentren felicidad.
This designation fills us with joy because we are convinced that this World Youth Day places before us the challenge to be an instrument for announcing to our young people the good news that God loves them, that He always waits for them so they can get to know Him and in Him they may find joy.
Todos somos testigos de la vulnerabilidad en que se encuentra nuestra juventud.
We have seen the vulnerability to which our young people are exposed to today.
Muchos jóvenes son presa de la exclusión y pobreza, del tráfico de drogas, bandas delincuenciales, de la trata humana, en fin, del desamor de la misma sociedad, incluso de sus propios padres.
Many young people are prisoners of of marginalization and poverty, of drug trafficking, of the international criminal networks, of human trafficking, in all, a lack of love by society and even their parents.
Estamos convencidos que esta jornada es una oportunidad para que los jóvenes puedan experimentar la gracia y el amor de Dios que nunca falla.
We are convinced that World Youth Day will be an opportunity so the young people can experience the grace and the love of God, the eternal parent, which never fails.
¿Por qué Panamá? Porque el Papa ha querido dar la oportunidad para que miles de jóvenes de esta región centroamericana, caribeña, puedan también ellos tener esta gran experiencia.
Why Panama? Because the Holy Father has wanted that people, young people from this region, Central America, may also come to World Youth Day. They are together with the ones from Africa, the ones that attend World Youth Day events in the smallest numbers.
Este deseo surgió desde la celebración de los 500 años como primera diócesis en tierra firme celebrada el 9 de septiembre del 2013.
This wish also came about because we asked for a papal visit to celebrate the 500 years of the founding of the first diocese in the mainland of the American continent, which we celebrated on September the 9th of 2013, and to which we add the celebration of the 100th birthday of Blessed Archbishop Oscar Romero.
¿Por qué se escogió realizar la jornada mundial en enero?
Why was January chosen to celebrate World Youth Day?
Es la época del año con el mejor clima en la región para hacer un evento como este.
This is the season of the year with the best weather in the region to have an event like this.
A pesar de ser verano, los vientos del norte son más generosos en estas fechas y el clima es más agradable.
Even though it is summer, the winds coming from the north are very generous and make the temperatures cooler.
Somos conscientes de la realidad que para esas fechas vive Europa y los Estados Unidos.
We are also conscious of the fact that these dates in Europe and the United States are different.
Deseamos que pudiera existir la posibilidad de aprovechar la Semana Blanca en algunos colegios y universidades católicas para dar la oportunidad de una mayor participación de los jóvenes de Estados Unidos en la Jornada Mundial.
We know this is the time for a white week because of snow, especially in Catholic schools and universities. And we hope that this may create an opportunity for a greater participation of the young people of the United States.
¿Qué pueden esperar los peregrinos obispos que participen en la Jornada Mundial en Panamá?
What can the pilgrims and bishops participating in World Youth Day in Panama expect?
Un encuentro con un país y una iglesia pequeña, pero con un corazón grande.
An encounter with a country and a church that is small but has a big heart.
Un encuentro con la iglesia viva centroamericana, una iglesia martirial.
An encounter with a church that is alive in Central America and a church of martyrs.
Creo que también tenemos la oportunidad para que desde la Conferencia Episcopal de Estados Unidos, en preparación a las jornadas, se pueda preparar y exaltar la influencia de cientos de misioneros que han dado su vida en esta región centroamericana.
I also believe that perhaps together with the Bishops' Conference of the United States, we may also emphasize the influence of the many U.S. missionaries that have come to our country and to the region.
Muchos de estos misioneros de Estados Unidos fueron pioneros en la adecuación del Concilio Vaticano II con la creación de comunidades de base en muchas de nuestras iglesias particulares.
Many of these missionaries from the United States were the first ones to implement the Second Vatican Council, especially creating basic ecclesial communities in our local communities.
Y el martirio de muchas religiosas, solo por mencionar a la comunidad de hermanas de Merinol.
We also know the martyrdom of many sisters, and I would only like to mention the Merinol sisters.
Los ejes de la preparación pastoral. Queremos insistir en el cuidado de la casa común, que sea una jornada donde la Laudato Si sea también el eje donde gire toda la preparación.
From among the focus points for the pastoral preparation, we want to emphasize the care for the common home so that we can delve deeply into the meaning of Laudato Si.
Y compartir la experiencia de los jóvenes en su realidad de marginalidad, de migración, de trata de personas.
We also want to bring out the experience of young people, especially in their experiences of marginalization, migration, and human trafficking.
Y sobre todo, queremos presentar a la Iglesia Centroamericana como una iglesia de mártires.
And overall, we want to present or introduce the Central American Church as a church of martyrs.
Se están organizando encuentros con el mundo indígena, migrantes y ecumenismo.
For this, there is also taking place encounters among the indigenous and young people.
Y está la figura de María con el lema, He aquí la sierva del Señor, hágase en mí según su palabra, que ha querido el Papa conectarlo a la preparación del sínodo, un sínodo vocacional.
And we also have the figure or the image of Mary, because the Holy Father wanted to connect the slogan, Behold the servant of the Lord, be done to me according to your word, since this will also be the preparation for the sinner and the young people and vocational discernment.
Y María es el ejemplo de disponibilidad y respuesta a la llamada de Dios.
And Mary is an example of availability and response to the call of God.
Los alojamientos serán en colegios, polideportivos, universidades, hogares de acogida y hoteles, que hay aproximadamente más de 30,000 espacios.
Lodging for pilgrims will be in schools, gyms, community centers, universities, retreat centers, and hotels, in which there will be approximately 30,000 units available.
Quiere ser una jornada sencilla, pero con mucha alegría. Incluso, la prejornada será compartida con las iglesias de Costa Rica y Nicaragua.
It will be a simple celebration, but one where there will be a lot of joy. In fact, the pre-World Youth Day events will also be shared in Costa Rica and Nicaragua.
Los eventos y las catequesis serán en la cinta costera, lo mismo que el Festival de la Juventud, en parroquias, capillas, distribuidos por lenguas, también en los auditorios, gimnasios, colegios y plazas.
The main events will be in the cinta costera, the waterfront boulevard in English. The catechesis and the festival of the youth will take place in different parishes and chapels, and the pilgrims will be distributed by language. This will also take place in gymnasiums, parks, and auditoriums of schools and universities.
El registro de peregrinos se iniciará en enero del 2019, cuando el Papa Francisco sea el primer peregrino en registrarse.
The registration for the pilgrims will begin in January of next year, when Pope Francis will be the first one to register in the website.
Se estará utilizando el mismo sistema que se usó en Cracovia con algunas mejoras.
We will use the same system that was used in Krakow with some improvements.
Los obispos tendrán el proceso de registro con el dicasterio y luego con el sistema como se realizó en Cracovia.
The bishops will register through the dicastery and then through the system that was also used in Krakow.
Queremos también que esta jornada los protagonistas sean los mismos jóvenes.
We also want that the young people be the protagonists in this event.
Quiero terminar también compartiendo con ustedes la hermosa experiencia de la peregrinación de la cruz, sobre todo en México, justo cuando el terremoto. Ha estado un mes en Cuba y en estos momentos la cruz está peregrinando en Haití.
I would like to finish just by sharing with you a little bit of the experience we have had with the Pilgrim's Cross of World Youth Day that was in Mexico when the earthquake happened, and it was already in Cuba, and now it's also in Haiti.
Reiteramos nuestra gratitud, pero sobre todo nuestra invitación para que nos encontremos todos del 21 al 27 de enero del 2019, Panamá 2019, para que los jóvenes nos sigan dando la fuerza para que juntos podamos seguir soñando y hacer sueños esta realidad, porque dejamos de ser jóvenes cuando dejamos de soñar.
I reiterate my thanks to you, but also I want to emphasize my invitation to come to Panama so that we can experience with the young people all of the love and the faith of the church, because as you know, we would become older if we're not with the young people.
Nuevamente, gracias y bienvenido a Panamá.
Cardinal Donardo, if anyone has any comments or questions, the Archbishop or I are willing to answer.
Anyone with some comments or observations for
Bishop Pfeiffer?
Bishop Pfeiffer. Oh, okay. Please.
Where is he?
Monseñor, primeramente, le quiero felicitar mucho por su presentación de este gran momento de gracia y celebración para el país de Panamá, para todos los panameños. ¿Nos puede decir un poco más sobre el impacto y la cooperación y coordinación con los otros obispos de Centroamérica y los otros países?
Sí, ha sido una jornada pensada en Centroamérica, con sede en Panamá. Incluso la petición que le hicimos al Santo Padre fue una petición de todos los obispos centroamericanos, del SEDAC, y la sentimos así. No es una jornada de Panamá, es una jornada de la región, que también en un sentido es un poco idéntica, porque no es un país, sino una región.
Gracias.
Bishop Pfeiffer was asking if there was any collaboration or coordination with the other countries in Central America, and Bishop Ulloa responds that in fact the request came as a group because they wanted to emphasize the realities, the lived experience of the people in the region.
I think if there are other questions, maybe we'll take them afterwards in the back. Thanks, Bishop Cajano. Thank you very much, and to Archbishop.
Thank you.
God bless. Thanks. We have a couple things we have to do yet. One is a report from Catholic Relief Services. Bishop Gregory Mansour and Sean Callahan, President and CEO of CRS, are here for a report Thank you very much. Thanks, Bishop.
Thank you, Your Eminence, Cardinal DiNardo and Brother Bishops. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to serve CRS. And thank you, Brother Bishops, for the support that you and your dioceses and eparchies provide to CRS to ensure this amazing work of the Church throughout the world. This wonderful work inspires our Catholic people here in the United States to live their faith more fully. And as one community of faith, to respond to our sisters and brothers in need throughout the world. I have asked Sean Callahan, President and CEO of Catholic Relief Services, to provide you with a few examples of our work in capacity building and strengthening the local churches. And then I'll give a small little summary at the end with a personal story and a request. Thank you.
Thank you, Bishop Mansour. It's been exciting to be here and to hear the discussions that have gone on. And I heard a lot yesterday when you were talking about the 100th anniversary of the conference about fraternal and ecclesial collegiality. And we find that for Catholic Relief Services, that collegiality is crucial and that your voices actually stretch much farther than your local diocese. You're going to be hearing from Sister Donna about the millions of people that you affect here in the United States, but also you affect over 120 million people around the world. And I was most recently in Dakar, Senegal, where we had the opportunity of presenting in front of a collective of the various conferences, 89 bishops and 5 cardinals in Africa. And we talked about the great work, and they were thanking us for our work. And we had a panel with 3 of us, and I explained on how we're trying to work together, and we went on to talk about the Central African Republic and the Democratic Republic of Congo. And as the Cardinal finished his presentation on the Central African Republic, which is currently in war now, he thanked all of those who have assisted him. And then as the Archbishop from the Democratic Republic of Congo presented, he talked about the war situation they were affected by as well, and how he looked for assistance. Archbishop Odama from Gulu, Uganda, got up and apologized to all of the panelists. And he said, "I am sorry." And we all sat there, and he said, "First, I want to apologize to the Cardinal, because the war in the Central African Republic, we thought it was the problem of the bishops of the Central African Republic. And so we did nothing." And then he turned to the Archbishop and said, "I apologize to the bishops of the Democratic Republic of Congo because we thought you were a rich country and you didn't need our assistance." But he said that if we are going to make change here, it needs to be all of the bishops in this room and the universal church. If the problem of the Democratic Republic of Congo is the problem of Congo, then it won't be resolved. If the problem of the Central African Republic is for the Central African Republic, it won't be resolved. But if we can all work together as one universal church, we can make the difference. To just highlight some of those things, we work in communion around the world. We build the local capacity of church, ensure the leadership, the ownership, effectiveness, and organizational empowerment. And we do it in a way that promotes subsidiarity. We step behind those that we're serving and allow the local church, which invites us into the countries we're in. And we're currently in more countries than we've been in our history, 112 countries. Given the migration crisis, the Ukraine conflict, and others, they're inviting the Catholic Church in more and more. And they're not just looking for our staff to be there, they're looking at a relationship with our conference. They want the U.S. to be with them and behind them. And that's what we call the solidarity that we do, is working together in these different areas and being in there during their toughest times. We also invest resources. So over the last 3 years, between $100 and $300 million has been invested in projects that build that local capacity so they can be on their own after, that we're not the ones continually doing the initiatives. And then direct assistance has been between $30 and $40 million that really builds that local church capacity. Bishop Mansour will talk a little bit about human dignity when I'm finished, but there's 4 things that we try to highlight. One is the human dignity of the people that we serve. whether it's helping them with livelihoods, making sure there's education, or that they can get out in the farms and produce for their families. The second area is providing opportunities of health and production so that these people have an opportunity to go in the future. We heard about the migration crisis. Our job is to assist people so they don't have to migrate, so that people can produce in their countries, are safe, and can provide education and health care for their families. We provide hope to people who can produce and look for a better future, or for gang members that we can pull out of gangs so that they can be productive citizens. 80% of our program participants either stay in school or form an entrepreneurial enterprise. They don't go back to the gangs. And then we look for empowerment, that people break down the barriers that they have between different communities and groups and violence, and we promote peace. And we reach out to those refugees that you talked about earlier. We do this through meetings at various conferences. The one I attended in Senegal, there's the Latin American conference, various African bishops' conference, dicasteries, consecrated women religious, Caritas and the Vatican. We work all together with these various different groups. But what I want to leave you here today is that we don't do it alone and we don't do it on your behalf. We do it all together, and it's crucial that this forum unite together with that unity that we heard about racism and that we heard about migration, and join with the international church so that we can solve many of these problems of migration and violence around the world. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. And by the way, it was nice to see you and so many of CRS at the Mass last night. And brothers, I've had the joy to travel to El Salvador, Jordan, Egypt, Lebanon for CRS. I love this beautiful work. I've also traveled this past summer to Uganda, and there I met Sarah, the young woman that you see in this photo. She gave birth to a child that was very severely deformed. She showed me her son's photo before and after. She told me how her husband left her. CRS serves so many people like this, helping them not with a handout, but with a hand up, with the ability to have an income, to support themselves, to give themselves the gift of life. It's this type of work that we, and I mean we, the conference, we do every day in 112 countries to save, protect, and transform human lives. It's a beautiful work. It's God's work. I thank you again for your support, and I encourage you to redouble your efforts. The CRS collections and Rice Bowl is probably one of the most effective and popular ways in which you bishops, we bishops, reach out to our families, our young people. There are three strong ways in which we can really help CRS to do her work. One is this CRS Rice Bowl, which is a hands-on, family-friendly, youth-friendly way. It's not a second collection. It's people of God helping people of God in another part of the world that they may never meet until the next world. That's first. The second, many don't really know too much about, but many in this room probably would, and that's the ethical trade program. You can buy coffees and teas and Christmas gifts and literature through the Catholic Relief Services website with a fair trade, which means the person producing it on the other side gets a fair wage and the environment is protected and their rights are safeguarded. And the third is our high schools, our university students, and also our overseas programs for internships that CRS has touched thousands of young people by connecting them with the poor overseas. Brothers, what a wonderful work this is, and I am proud to stand before you as a fellow Catholic of the United States to see the work of the Catholic Church Caritas Internationalis is about 165 Caritas organizations. Catholic Relief Services is about the largest. And it produces a support as a big brother, not as overseen, but a big brother who comes in next to them, especially with bishops whose backs are against the wall because they're a minority in their countries. It helps those bishops show the face of Christ, the beautiful face of the Catholic Church in that area. Thank you for your support.
We have still one other report. Do you mind, Bishop Mansour, if we do the questions in the back afterwards? And we'll do it then, but we do have one more report, and that's Sister Donna Markham is coming up right now. She has some important report to Catholic Charities, and I have a little bit of a prejudice here since Catholic Charities has been so good to us in Texas in light of Hurricane Harvey.
Well, thank you very much, Cardinal DiNardo, Archbishop Gomez, Monsignor Bransfield, and our intrepid Episcopal liaison, Bishop Zubik, wherever you are out here. There he is, I see him. I'm thrilled to be able to share a bit with you, and I know I'm the last thing standing between you and happy hour, so I'll cut this down to a point so that we can, and hopefully that we can continue to, any of you that have, that want to learn more about what this is all about, come to the breakfast on Wednesday morning, okay? So this is some fast facts about Catholic Charities this past year. Gives you a sense of the of what we're doing in terms of just knowing the number of people that we're serving. We realize that Catholic Charities is really the expression of the humanitarian work of the Catholic Church across the dioceses of the United States and the territories. And that Catholic Charities is embedded in each of your dioceses, and we're so proud of that. And know that that makes us good partners. And we're working hard to continue to collaborate and work closely with each of you as we carry out the work of charity in this country. We have set strategic priorities that you heard about last year. There are seven of them. I want to spend most of the time this afternoon in this brief time to talk with you about the top one, the disaster services, because that is touching so very many people in our country and in the territories. The Catholic Charities was not prepared. We weren't prepared for the enormity of the onslaught of these sequential hurricanes. So when the first one was coming in into play in the ocean, in the Atlantic Ocean, Hurricane Harvey, we decided we'd put a button on our website to ask for donations. We figured that we might be lucky if we got $500,000 because we're not accustomed to, you know, doing this. But we thought we have to get something to these people because it was clear that Texas was going to be hit and hit hard, and we needed to get emergency funding to them. I invited Monsignor Bransfield to come with me to go and present the first round of checks. Little did we know that by the time we got to Texas, which was about 2 weeks after the hurricane, 1 week after the hurricane, we had already collected $2 million on the website. We were getting $1,000 per minute. The website crashed. We weren't used to this. So that was the first round where we distributed the immediate emergency funding to the Catholic Charities agencies and the dioceses in Texas that were affected, great and small affected, because some were taking in people that were evacuating from other dioceses. So we'll spend most of the time, and I just want to share this, if it works. It has music. Wait till the music comes. You need to hear this music because I think it's great to hear it at the end of the day. So, ready? This is a Catholic Charities Gospel Choir singing this.
But if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you.
So those dollars were updated a week ago, and as of today, it's closer to $24 million, and those donations will be delivered as soon as we can get. I need to get to the Virgin Islands. I just came from Puerto Rico, and I've been to Texas and to Florida. So it's a wonderful testimony to the generosity of the American people. Also, I have to tell you, Canadians started donating, and we had to make accommodations on the website to handle Canadian postal codes. So, but it just says a lot about the confidence that that the public has in the work of Catholic Charities. We promised that we would deliver 100% of every dollar to hurricane relief. We would not be using any of that for administrative costs or taking any of that at the national office. That might be killing us in the long run, but we felt it was important. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but to tell you that each of these priorities, the affordable housing one is critical right now. It's the largest national concern besides the emergencies that we're facing. Affordable housing, we're looking at some of the strategies, and we'll be in working with some of you in the room to look at excess church property, to turn that into a collaborative between the diocese and Catholic Charities and develop affordable housing for people that really need a place to be. Integrated health and nutrition, we're in some important conversations with Catholic health systems to try to look at how poor people can really access, especially mental health care and adequate food, and working in some wonderful collaborative relationships, especially in the West and Pacific Northwest. We're talking about many of the same things, the immigration and refugee services. We're in close collaboration with MRS, with Clinic, and Archbishop Gomez has been instrumental in trying to help us engage with the Mexican government in procuring funding for legal representation for Mexican nationals living here. We've also been very actively involved in procuring grant money from persons. We just got a $200,000 grant that went to Atlanta because they have the largest number of detention centers. The donor is very interested in making other large donations after we prove that Atlanta and Catholic Charities and the Archdiocese of Atlanta are successful in getting legal representation for these folks. So once we do that, then we'll have access to other revenue that will be delivered out to the dioceses that are heavily affected by this. Then leadership development. We're really working on this issue, which has been a long-standing issue for Catholic Charities, that we have many, many new Catholic Charities leaders, directors coming in who have a great need for Catholic for education and Catholic social teaching and leadership development and learning how the church works and what our Catholic social teaching tells us and how that impacts our ministry. Another area that we're working on is developing small businesses for hard-to-employ clients and looking at impact investing strategies. There are a number of these pop-up small businesses in your Catholic Charities agencies all across the country. And we're looking, we are fundraising around each of these strategic priorities, so that's helping us get seed money to get these things started. We work very closely with the USCCB on a lot of the advocacy social policy initiatives where we come at it with the stories on the ground, and USCCB is bringing the depth and wealth of our Catholic social teaching to some of these thorny issues and are in close collaboration and sign-on letters with a number of the committees of the conference, et cetera. So I know I'm racing through this, but I want you to have that happy hour. At the end of our annual gathering, which was held in Houston, where we turned loose 500 Catholic Charities people to go help clean up neighborhoods in Houston and Beaumont. At the end of that, Cardinal DiNardo celebrated a beautiful liturgy, and at the conclusion of that, we launched the Share the Journey campaign with our Catholic Charities workers. So. We're looking forward to getting into that, working very closely with Caritas Internacionales. We're the other partner from the United States in Caritas Internacionales, and we're working closely in furthering the campaign as we try to attend to the least among us and those without a home or a country. So anyway, I just want to thank you for all your moral support. It's meant an enormous amount of to us personally. At the national office and across the ministry, because this has been a tough year on many fronts, and it's been very tough in the last few months. So just hold us in your prayers, if you will, and just know that we'll do everything we can to meet the needs of the people that stand in such great positions of fragility in our society. So thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you. If you have further questions for Sister Donna or for Bishop Mansour, they'll be in the back afterwards. That's it for today. Monsignor, you have some announcements.
Yes, Your Eminence. Just a reminder that amendments are due, as His Eminence had mentioned earlier, at 5 p.m. in the trays outside this room. We adjourn for the day, reconvene at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Since we will be voting tomorrow, Tuesday, November 14th, please make sure to collect your voting pad before the morning session begins. And again, that begins at 9 a.m. in this room. Thank you, Your Eminence.
See you, brothers. See you tomorrow morning.